You're welcome back to the Old Ground Hotel here in Ennis in County Clare. Yesterday's fog has lifted and the light is now seeping into the sky outside our window here. Well, if nothing else, it would seem elections are a boost for the local newspaper business. Both this week's Clare Echo and Clare Champion are laden with colour ads for candidates. The lead story in the Champion says stage is set as 15 seek four seats. Well, the Echo's political columnist Owen Nealon says that either the Green Party's Roisin Garvey or the former Labour TD and now independent Michael McNamara could spring a surprise here. One piece of non-election news, interestingly common to the two papers, is the welcome afforded to a group of asylum seekers who recently arrived in Ennis. Indeed, one of those asylum seekers has written a piece for the Echo this week. Now, shortly we'll be joined by a number of guests to discuss the issues and the electoral contest here in this four-seat constituency. But before we do, we can hear from some business owners in Ennis. They were gathered by our reporter, Tommy Meskell.
I want the hospital open and I want the, everything is over there for it. And I tell you, the people in Nina want their hospital open as well. And I think it would be very good for everybody.
It doesn't look like it's going to happen anyway. There's been no real movement towards that, has there?
No. It's the cost.
Two schools have closed in the last few months in West Clare. So that it would be a concern very much for people that would have, you know, there must be no jobs. And jobs are, if you don't have jobs, people can't stay in the place.
You're standing outside Tierney's. You own Tierney's?
My wife does.
Can I just ask you, the town itself, you're so familiar with this. Yeah. How has it fared over the last couple of years? Is there room for improvement?
It's dying on its feet. It's gone. The shop, the town is gone. All, we say, the small businesses are all gone now. You know, and the bypass didn't help us, I reckon myself.
I have children in full-time childcare, and I'm paying the full amount, obviously, because I work full-time. I've been working since I was 16.
How expensive is childcare here in Ennis?
Well, we pay £3.20 a week for two kids in full-time childcare a week. That's more than our mortgage.
Hi, I'm John O'Connor. I own Custody's Music Shop at Francis Custody. We're here right in the heart of the beautiful town of Ennis, County Clare, renowned for music, culture and chancers.
You will be very well known around Ennis and Clare and beyond. Ahead of this election, what would a business owner like you have on their mind? What concern would you have on your mind?
It's a kind of a general concern, really, as regards business and in a town like this. I mean, every town, every small town on the Western Seaboard is in a state of desolation. There's a lot of dereliction. There's a lot of rate changes, rate increases. Nobody seems to have the common sense to realise that certain niche businesses, very family-owned businesses, have great appeal nationally and internationally, and there's very little recognition given to that.
Some views there from around the town of Ennis. Well, with us this morning here at our table in the window of the Town Hall Cafe, looking out onto O'Connell Street, are Pádraig McMahon. He's the head of news and sport with the Clare Echo. Also here, Margaret O'Brien, the chief executive of Ennis Chamber of Commerce. And with us too, outgoing independent TD, Dr. Michael Hartley. Pádraig, let's start with you. There are, I think it's fair to say, there are several different Clares. On the one hand, you have towns like Ennis and Shannon. On the other hand, you have a lot of quieter, more rural areas. What, in your assessment, are the big issues in this constituency?
The big issues, Rachel, I suppose, and you'd be right in saying different areas, but the big issues would be common in that health, looking at overcrowding in University Hospital Limerick, that's a big concern. Employment, looking at Moneypoint, Rosh, Avera, Molex, big closures affecting a lot of people. And then Shannon Airport, which would underpin tourism. So Shannon Airport had an 8% drop in passenger numbers last year. Tourism, Clare, needs to thrive on it. And I saw Michael McNamara commenting in the Irish Independent that Clare has become like Jurassic Park. People are coming down on buses just for a look and off again. So the candidate that can tick those boxes, and really if someone could sell that they could really promote Shannon Airport, they would have a great chance of getting into Dáil Éireann.
We'll look at some of the contenders later, but is it fair to say that this has always been a great constituency to spring a surprise? We had Michael Hartley here 4 years ago. In the past, you had James Breen, the independent. Of course, going back to the year of the spring tide, there was Dr. Musa G. Bamji.
Yeah, exactly, Rachel. And I think this time round, I would say Clare is going to indicate what the national picture is in. So if Clare can elect two Fianna Fáil TDs, it will probably be Fianna Fáil in government. And if Clare can retain their two Fine Gael TDs, we would probably have a Fine Gael-led government.
Michael Harty, you were elected 4 years ago as a campaigner, in particular on the lack of GPs in rural areas. You're not running again. Would it be fair to say that you found the last 4 years frustrating?
That would be the word I would use, Rachel, yes. And I did run on relation to rural medical services, but it expanded out into rural sustainability, really. The lack of services within rural Ireland, the depopulation of rural Ireland, the schools, as we mentioned, closing in rural Ireland, lack of services, post offices closing around the country, 159 post offices closed during my term in office, which was extremely disappointing. So it was about rural sustainability. Yes, medical services were important and they still are important. The issue of retaining rural GPs is still very much to the fore. We have an issue in Newmarket and Fergus where a list hasn't been filled now for over 9 months. And
Newmarket and Fergus is not a tiny place. I mean, it's a substantial village.
No, Newmarket and Fergus is within commuting distance of Ennis, Limerick. It's quite a central village. And the issue really is around the contracts that underpin rural general practice in general. So the issue has extended now from rural areas into our county towns and our villages. And that is an issue which hasn't been addressed by government. And I did try to address it in my time there, but unfortunately I didn't get a listening ear.
Taking all of this into account, and you know, we're looking at a situation where we have 15 people, as we were saying, contending for these seats, wanting to represent the county. But you know, what can one TD do?
Well, I think independent TDs have an important role to play in government because they give an alternative point of view. They give a different view to the traditional parties. And I think many of the independent TDs in the Dáil, in the 32nd Dáil, did give those alternative views. You do have to have a receptive ear, and some people just are not willing to listen. I found that difficult when I was there, that from a medical point of view, as a GP, I had a unique view on how general practice worked, how public health nursing worked, community intervention teams, community psychiatric teams, and how primary care and secondary care interact. The Sláinte Care reform programme, I think, was one of the unique things that developed out of this Dáil.
And that's something that has cross-party support.
That has cross-party support. The issue really is we are wonderful at producing reports. We're very poor at implementing them. And that's the issue with Sláinte Care. It is very slow to get off the ground. And you cannot reform a health service from current spending. You have to have ring-fenced, unique spending to reform the service. And that hasn't been forthcoming so far.
We can come back to some of what it's possible to achieve and maybe what it's not possible to achieve as far as the health service is concerned. But I want to bring in Margaret O'Brien, Chief Executive of Ennis Chamber of Commerce. I think if you asked people in other parts of the country or even other parts of the county, there may be a sense that Ennis recovered more quickly from the recession than some other places. Is that a fair assessment?
I think, to be honest, it took a while for Ennis to recover. And I think we've a new sort of Ennis now, Rachel. I think that we're very fortunate in Ennis because, at you know, during the boom, people thought we were unlucky because we didn't have the typical anchor high street stores in Ennis. And that was an issue around our medieval town centre and conservation and all of those issues and the kind of footprint they needed. I think it's now to our advantage because the independent spirit that has existed down through the years is actually what's carrying the town now. We're really fortunate because there's a cohort of retailers in this town who literally lift their heads every morning and they come in, and I see it when I'm working late at night. The shops that are doing well in this town, the people who are positive, the lights are on in the evening, they're doing their Facebook, they're updating their website. It's a long, long day for the retailers who are really in business for business at the moment. So it's a new paradigm for them, really.
Jobs in the Midwest, something mentioned by Porrick there. I mean, looking at the official figures, the Midwest grew last year. Its growth may be on a par with the national average. But towards the end of the year, there was that big shock announcement from Shannon with the announcement that Molex was to close. What's your assessment of the situation
there? I think what's of concern, and it sometimes doesn't get mentioned, is we're losing quality jobs. So while the figures are still good in Clare, the figures are good because we have a huge cohort of people working in tourism, which is not a well-paid sector. We still have people in farming. We have people in lesser paid jobs. And I think that's borne out by the statistics when you look at the disposable income of Clare. Like, our neighbours in Limerick are second from top in Ireland now, and we're languishing down around the bottom. And similarly, even with tourism, it's about the conversion of the people. It's been mentioned this morning, the conversion of the people coming into to the county. They trundle down from Dublin every morning by the busload, 1.6 million visitors to the cliffs. And yet, we're the fifth most visited county in Ireland and have the second worst spend per tourist visitor. That's shocking.
Michael Harty, just back briefly to you on the health question, because it has been a perennial issue here. I mean, if you go back 30 years even, I remember there was a big furore about the future of the General Hospital then. We know that a lot has changed and a lot of promises are going to be made over the next couple of weeks. Should people be wary of promises?
I think so, and I think we've seen auction politics take centre stage now with the debates over the past number of days. The issue in relation to the health service in the Midwest is extremely important to people because of the overcrowding in the regional hospital in Limerick, and that goes back to the reconfiguration of our services 10 or 12 years ago, where beds were closed in Ennis, Nida and St John's, but they were not put into the regional hospital. So bed capacity is a huge issue, and there are solutions in plain sight, but they're just not being implemented because they're difficult and they will cost money.
Pádraic McMahon, back to you finally. As we've heard, in 2016, this constituency returned two Fine Gael TDs, plus Timmy Dooley of Fianna Fáil, Michael Harty here, we have, as I said, Pat Breen and Joe Carey of Fine Gael. How do you see the contest shaping up this time?
Well, I'll make a bold prediction, Rachel, that no one else has said, and I'll say first-time Dáil candidate and Mayor of Clare, Councillor Cathal Crowe, is going to top the poll.
He's the man who gathered national headlines over the past few weeks because he was the first to say that he didn't want to commemorate the RIC.
That's him, and he's been campaigning for this day since he entered politics in 2004. He became the youngest councillor at the age of 21, and only last year he wasn't the youngest councillor. I think Cathal will top the poll. I think Pat Breen, junior minister, he'll get in. Timmy Dooley should also get in safely. And then the last seat is going to be the bloodbath. So there'll be loads in content. You're talking sitting TD Joe Carey, Senator Martin Conway, Michael McNamara, who's getting a huge groundswell of support on the ground. And if Roisin Garvey can get the green wave, she'll be in the mix.
Would you call that last seat?
I couldn't call it yet.
Okay, listen, you were brave enough to name a poll topper or a potential poll topper, so we'll let you away with it. Thank you all very much for joining us this morning. The full list of candidates here in the four-seat Clare constituency is as follows in alphabetical order: David Barrett, Independent; Pat Breen of Fine Gael; Joe Carey of Fine Gael; Martin Conway of Fine Gael; Cathal Crowe, Fianna Fáil; Timmy Dooley, Fianna Fáil; Roisin Garvey of the Green Party; Michael Leahy of the Irish Freedom Party; Independent Trudy Layden; Independent Michael McNamara; Conor O'Brien of Renewa; Teresa O'Donoghue of Solidarity People Before Profit; Rita McInerney, Fianna Fáil; Joseph Wolfe, Independent; and Violet Ann Wynne, Sinn Féin.